Good Tuesday. Today is March the 25th, and you're listening to My Farm, where we're going to continue our conversation this morning with Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition. We are also going to take a look at some of the latest developments with highly pathogenic avian influenza and some changes here in the state of Ohio. We'll have that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Mike Steenhook. He is the Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Well, let's talk about a popular topic both in Washington among the administration and we've talked about numerous times in agriculture, the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
There have been challenges there, obviously, with water levels, what boats get through and when because of what the cost is relative to other freight that has to move through. Where do things stand currently with the Panama Canal? And obviously that's become a little bit of a political hot potato as well.
Yeah, from an operations perspective, we're very pleased that during the rainy season of Panama, and that's really from the beginning of May through the middle of December, and then the dry season's mid-December through the end of April. During the rainy season last year, they did get considerable amount of rainfall to really bring that canal back to normal operation. So you're back to that 36 to 40 vessels per day that the canal historically has been able to achieve. Very good news in that regard. From a political perspective, you know, the administration and Congress and the Senate had a hearing on this subject a couple weeks ago in which they're really looking at the whole question of the degree to which China has influence over the Panama Canal. One of the key elements of the treaty that was signed in 1977 by President Carter stipulates that really transferred ownership of the canal from the United States to Panama, and that culminated on December 31st of 1999, was that the Panama Canal in perpetuity must be maintained and operated in a neutral fashion. It didn't provide preference from one country to the next. And if that neutrality is ever compromised in any way, the U.S. military can intervene to restore and maintain that neutrality. So now the Panama Canal itself is owned by the Republic of Panama. It is a national treasure to that country.
Sure.
It isn't going anywhere. They're not gonna get rid of it to any respect. They're not gonna share it with anyone. But what when you dive into this topic, what really is at issue is there are a couple of ports, one on the Atlantic side called Cristobal, one on the Pacific side called Balboa. Soy Transportation Coalition, about a year ago, we visited the port at Balboa. It's very common for ports around the world to be operated. They're not owned by, but they're operated by some of these multinational port operation companies. And so one of the preeminent ones around the world is called Hutchison Port Holdings. It's based in Hong Kong. They operate 53 ports around the world in about 24 countries. They have a 25-year concession to operate those two ports. The first concession was awarded in 1997, and that happened to be the year that Hong Kong went from British rule to Chinese rule. And then they had another 25-year concession extended in 2022. Mm. Now, the issue is, and this isn't a statement of opinion, it's a statement of fact, is that over that period of time, Hong Kong as an independent political entity is less so than it is today. Yeah, obviously, there's greater Chinese influence over that. So the question is, so you've got a Hong Kong-based company operating two ports that it's not the canal itself, but it's adjacent to the canal. The question is the degree to which the Chinese government has influence over the operations of those companies and hence the ports. To what extent could, and you have to underline the word could, that result in the neutrality of the canal being impeded in any way? And so that's the real question. So, and then the other element of this is there is actually a bridge that's currently being built across the Panama Canal. There's currently three bridges in Panama that go from east to west across the canal. There's a fourth one getting built, and there's two Chinese engineering and construction companies that's building that bridge. And so that's another part of it, that to what extent could that impede the neutrality of the Panama Canal, and then would that justify any kind of intervention by the United States? In all my interaction with the Panama Canal, I've been there a number of times. I've interfaced with the Panama Canal Authority numerous times. It's always been a very professional organization, very responsive, very collaborative, very hospitable to farmers. Soybeans are the number one agricultural customer of the Panama Canal. About 600 million bushels of U.S. soybeans go through the Panama Canal every year. It's in their best interest to maintain good relations with the United States. 70% of all of the freight that goes through the Panama Canal either originates from the United States or is destined to the United States. So, that's really the element, the line of inquiry that's happening. And, you know, clearly, China has invested in other countries. You're seeing their influence increase. We talk about their investment in Brazilian infrastructure all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's also extended to Panama. And so then the big question is it benign? Is it nefarious? And that's what, you know, our lawmakers are hearing. But as from my observation of the canal, I think the operations have gone quite well.
Good. That is definitely good to hear. Again, my guest today has been Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. We'll be back with Mike more tomorrow, but stay tuned. We've still got more coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a quick look at your agricultural headlines, since the time highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, first hit Ohio back in 2022, approximately 9.4 million chickens were depopulated from poultry farms between that time and Christmas of this past year in 2024. Now, in less than 3 months since Christmas, another 15.5 million birds have been depopulated. That, according to Brian Baldridge, Ohio Secretary of Agriculture. And as a result of this outbreak and the impact on Ohio's poultry industry, Governor Mike DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel have asked U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to support Ohio's poultry farmers by backdating the effective date of USDA's indemnification program. Now, Governor DeWine believes that this is vitally important to restore all premises impacted by avian flu in Ohio to provide enhanced support to the state's poultry producers. In his request, Governor DeWine noted that as it currently stands, of the 74 confirmed cases in the past 13 weeks, only three of those would qualify for compensation based on the current effective date. The request is to push that effective date earlier to restore full operation capabilities to poultry producers hit by the outbreak. Now, looking back to last Tuesday, the Ohio Department of Agriculture released a proclamation regarding HPAI prohibiting the movement of all birds, including poultry, wild game birds, fancy poultry species, and exotic species from non-commercial premises, including public and private shows and exhibitions, sales, and all activities involving these birds in the counties of Dark, Mercer, Van Wert, Auglaize, Paulding, Putnam, Allen, Hardin, Logan, Shelby, Miami, Montgomery, and Preble counties. And this restriction will remain in effect until May 15th of this year. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.